We come to worship not because it is a duty, not because a minister calls us, not to display to the world our fine garb, not to smirk at others because of our goodness, not to be complimented for our proficiency,
but to hear the word speak for our peace,
not to listen as others are condemned,
but to be told how we have sinned,
not to be satisfied with knowing religious rules,
but to surrender all to kingdom's rules,
not to take away whatever God will give us,
but to worship.
We would encounter the God who searches for us.
As servants, as your children, and as your ministers, allow us to minister to each other and to be ministered to. Father, often we come and with our attitudes, if we're here to minister and to preach your gospel, but Lord, we also need to hear it and to be participants in worship. Allow us to participate today as we share and identify with those who are sharing with us. Help us to glorify you as we minister and as we love in your name. Amen. This morning, Bonnie Johnson will be doing the interpretive movement.
I was asked to give you a several-minute interpretation of what pastoral ministry is to me, personally. First of all, I have to say that pastoral ministry to me is a realization. It's a realization of what I've understood for some time to be God's call for my life. at times almost feeling frustrated at seminary because I couldn't put into action, put into effect, test, use many of the things I was being taught. And yet this opportunity now lies before me. In this realization, I feel very positive about God's call for my life. I feel very positive about where I am. And I think that is communicated to our people. I feel positive about my relationship to Jesus Christ and that He has called me for His service. I feel it is a privilege to serve Him in the pastoral role. And I feel it's a privilege for various reasons. First of all, relationships. I'm able to develop the kind of relationships, the deeper relationships perhaps than many other fields, if not any. I feel that the relationships that I develop can be deep, can be rich, can be in sharing Christ's mission in this world. Relationships, let me give you an example, are sometimes trying. When I first came to the church I'm serving now, one of our members said, you know, Mrs. Luna is mad at the pastor. She's mad at the preacher. Well, immediately my feelings were hurt. I felt defensive. I wanted to do something about it, and I found out why. Said he hasn't been to visit her, and I had been visiting many of the members, had not gotten around to Mrs. Luna yet. So I said, well, I'm going to have to go visit her. Well, what am I going to say in explanation of myself? How am I going to defend myself as her pastor and not being there yet? I'd only been there several weeks. And I went to Mrs. Luna, and I sat for about an hour, and I think I said 10 words. I didn't have to defend myself. She did all the talking. But it meant something to her, and she shared with me. And she was there the next Sunday. And it meant a lot, and relationships are important, and pastoral ministry offers a great opportunity and privilege for those relationships. Also, pastoral ministry offers a beautiful opportunity, I think, for finding what kind of leader and using effective leadership. I'd found models in my life before my ministry. I knew of authoritative people I wanted to be like, pastors I had modeled. I wanted to be like them. And when I got to this church I'm serving now, actually I serve two churches, but one church in particular, the deacon said, we want you to tell us what to do. The chairman of the deacon said, you've got to tell us what to do. We need you just to tell us. We don't know. We rarely meet. You just tell us what to do. So I got all the things I could to tell them, and I told them what to do. And they just went on as they had been going for years. Same old way. They'd been there a long time before I came, and they'll be there probably a long time after I leave. And these are some things I came to understand. I came to understand that a leader is not always an authoritative leader. It can be a submissive leader. Different ways we can lead, and I found out that about pastoral ministry. I think pastoral ministry is a privilege, but I also think pastoral ministry is a responsibility, a tremendous responsibility. Responsibility in preaching the gospel in truth. I can't say enough for preparation in biblical studies at this seminary for you and I now. As I stand and preach, I often see people making notations in their Bibles, in the margins of their Bibles. And I understand how important, how crucial your interpretation, your understanding, your knowledge of the Scriptures can be. And I think our effective preparation is most vital. We have a responsibility in that area. We also have a responsibility in knowing the needs of our people, in visiting and finding out the needs, and expressing our concern for the needs, and expressing our trust for the people as they trust us, and we together help to meet each other's needs. I think one way we do that is to equip people in the pastoral ministry. We are equippers, and we also help others find their spiritual gifts and use their gifts to fulfill the needs. This is Christ. This is what He's shown us so much in His life and through the Holy Spirit. It is a great responsibility to see needs. It's also a great responsibility to allow yourself to be taught by others and to be willing to learn from others. We have a responsibility, I feel a tremendous responsibility right now in finding out, in knowing how much our church needs to grow, how we can most effectively be evangelistic, be outreaching, be what I feel like is a fulfillment of the commission God has given to us, and yet maintain balance and maintain growth inwardly. Outreach as well as inreach, outgrowth as well as ingrowth, reaching out and bringing others in. We want to have not only, we don't want to have empty pews, nor do we want to have empty people. So these are balances that we try to find in pastoral ministry. I think it's an awesome responsibility, a responsibility that a person cannot do and cannot fulfill without God's grace. But I also think, as it is an awesome responsibility, it is also a marvelous privilege.
Youth ministry. How in the world do you define that? What does it take, some special type of ministry to minister to youth? Does it take some special type of leader to reach youth? Yes. To coin a phrase by Dr. Bruce Powers in his new book, Christian Leadership, we should become life-giving leaders. Life-giving leaders. What is that? To understand that, we must understand life. In him was life, and that life was the light of the world. John 1:4. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son, he hath not life. Life-giving leaders must help youth understand that they are to become who they are, to take on a life. But they must also realize that this cannot come about except through Christ Jesus. You see, there are barriers to becoming who we are, and that's sin and self-will. These barriers must be broken down, and we must be freed from them. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Grady Nutt, several years ago, wrote a book, the title of which, or rather a phrase in it, was, I am me, and I am good, because God don't make no junk. A humorous statement, but a terrific theological perspective here. For as life-giving leaders, we must help youth understand that becoming who they are is the most beautiful thing in life, far greater than dreams, aspirations, and even heroic ideals. You see, to become a life-giving leader has a terrific responsibility also. How does a minister then become a life-giving leader to youth? By taking youth through a process of discovery activities, discovering who I am, who God is, and what He wants me to be about through Christ Jesus. To sum it up in a word, we are, as youth ministers, to enable youth to become. The motorcade drove up in front of a small village church just outside in the country of southern France. The meager group was following a casket being carried from the church to the graveyard adjacent to the sanctuary. As they did, a farmer in the group noticed the millionaire stepping from the limousine. He called out his name, and the crowd turned in shock to see the world-renowned architect joining their group in the processional. Shortly after the service, the farmer ran quickly over to the young man, the millionaire, and asked him, "Why did you come? You have such responsibilities. You are asked to be all over the world, and yet you had time to come to this funeral. Who in the world was this man to you in the first place?" The Frenchman reached into his coat pocket, pulled out a worn and tattered Bible, and said, "This man helped me find Christ Jesus. This is the Bible he helped me go through as a young child. You see, I am an architect of brick and stone and wood, but this man was an architect of my life."
Going as a minister of education, the ministry of Christian education involves the teaching and understanding of knowledge of Jesus Christ, the church, faith, and relationship to people. As I have observed and been involved for some time now, the minister of education should be prepared for these functions and/or characteristics. He should take on these hats, should be a leader, a trainer, a resource person, should be a coordinator, should be a listener to a Sunday school teacher who may have been teaching for some 30 or 40 years. should be a support to the pastor and the rest of the staff, should be an outreach leader, a vacation Bible school specialist, a coach, a communicator, a mission organization specialist, a recreation authority, always having a game in their hip pocket. Be able to work with all ages, with senior adults, with children, with singles, and with divorcees. Should also be an enabler, an equipper, an example. Should be very active, should be understanding, should be a Bible teaching specialist. Should also be an encourager, a planner, and an organizer. Above all, the Minister of Education today should be flexible. The Minister of Education must be loving and let Christ be the guide, be the example, and the model for his or her ministry.
And these were his gifts: some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip God's people for the work in his service, to the building up of the body of Christ. So shall we all at last attain to the unity inherent in our faith and our knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, measured by nothing less than the full stature of Christ. We are no longer to be children, tossed by the waves and whirled about by every fresh gust of teaching, dupes of crafty rogues and their deceitful schemes. No, let us speak the truth in love. So shall we fully grow up into Christ. He is the head, and on him the whole body depends. Bonded and knit together by every constituent joint, the whole frame grows through the due activity of each part and builds itself up in love. May God bless this reading of his word. Today begins our 1979 church growth emphasis, and we have with us today three persons who, because of the excellence of their own ministries, have been asked to come and share with us concerning our ministries. I want to introduce you to them now, and if you'll just please stand as I call your name. First is Ernest Mosley. Ernest Mosley comes to us from the Sunday School Board, where he serves as supervisor of the pastoral section of the Church Administration Department. He's a native of Arkansas, a graduate of Wachita Baptist University and Southwestern Seminary. He has served churches in Texas, Arkansas, and Louisiana, and came to the Sunday School Board from the University Avenue Baptist Church in Honolulu. While in Hawaii, he served as president of the Hawaii Baptist State Convention. He's also active in his community. He is chairman of the Metropolitan Nashville Public Schools Citizens Advisory Council. He's an author. He's written Call to Joy, A Design for Pastoral Ministries, The Deacon Family Ministry Plan, and Priorities in Ministry. He co-authored Vocational Guidance in the Church and has compiled articles for a book to be published in July, Leadership Profiles from Bible Personalities. You don't have to talk with him long to know that one of his favorite topics of conversation is his family, which consists of three daughters, Jan, Melody, and Lenora, and one wife, Vivian. In addition, I'm told he's a songwriter. He'll be speaking with us today on the topics of Wednesday night worship and Bible study, and the first 2 years, how to get started in a church. Next is Dr. Harry Pyland. He too comes to us from the Sunday School Board, where he's director of the Sunday School Department. He's a Texas native and came to the Sunday School Board in 1978 from First Baptist Church, Houston. He served there as Minister of Education. He had previously served at three other churches in Texas before the Sunday School Board rescued him from that state. He's a graduate of the University of Texas in Banking and Finance and holds the Master and Doctor of Religious Education degrees from Southwestern Seminary. He's married to Pat, and they have two children, David and Vicky. He'll be speaking on the topics of how do you develop a church outreach program and enlisting, training, and motivating Sunday school teachers. Thirdly, we have Larry Yarborough. He's a youth specialist with the church training department of the Sunday School Board. Now, the first thing that I heard about Larry Yarborough after he came to this campus was that he and Sandy Evans were running around together. This concerned me greatly until later I found out that they were both joggers. He comes from Alabama. He's a graduate of Sanford University and New Orleans Seminary. He served churches in Alabama and Louisiana before going to the Sunday School Board. He wrote There's No Place Like Home, which is a book for young people on family relationships. He's also contributed many articles to numerous denominational publications. He and his wife, Eleanor, have two children, Larry and Holly. He told me he enjoys photography, reading, and in spite of his running around, family life. He'll be speaking on media and creative worship and youth and church training. Welcome to Southeastern. We're all excited about having you here with us, and we hope to take full advantage of you while you're here. Let's pray. Father, we've come together on this campus to learn and grow as Christians and ministers of the good news. We're thankful for the opportunities that we have. We're thankful for these who have come to help us in this process. Bless us and bless them in their efforts, we pray. And as we depart now, grant to us thy peace and keep us in thy way everlasting. For we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.